us from the text line. Hey, Todd, you just killed me with your Slick Willie impression. Thank you. Yeah, it was the stuff about the pizza and the blue dress, which you liked. He woke up! Sleepy Jay woke up! Wake up, Governor! Oh, Sleepy Jay had to wake up early today.
I'm only Inslee.
I'm only Inslee. Sleepy Jay Inslee woken up from a nap, told to get on his "you're really outraged" face. Oh, he gave a speech filled with passion. Listen to this man's voice and imagine that he thinks he's going to be president of the United States. He's set right off with something that's never been said about the president before in history. This is original thinking. This is why he is a, like, pencil that's been soaked in oil and vinegar and it doesn't work.
Because he was the person who started this. And these suffering and those tears of those kids are right on his head. And it's unacceptable to anybody. And we have to protect citizens of this country, and this has to be a learning experience for us. Here's the lessons. We need to stand up against this bully.
I'm almost professionally not supposed to say this, but I am almost at a loss for words.
You know, when I put that little boy back with that rapist who was his dad, I mean, that's a learning experience, and I'm responsible for those tears. I'm responsible for the tears because my DSHS put a little kid back with the biological father we knew to be a rapist. I'm a bully. That's what I am. I'm a bully. And when I let the Department of Corrections continue to release prisoners early, with a software error, and they went and murdered people, I'm responsible. I caused those tears. And when I've allowed the heroin business to proliferate and grow and the meth business to proliferate and grow in Western Washington and now in Central Washington, I'm responsible for that. These overdoses are mine. I have caused them. I am a bully. Jay Inslee.
And I love how he slips into the middle of this. We must protect the country.
And it's unacceptable to anybody. And we have to protect citizens of this country
from criminals, Jay! And criminals sneak into the country through the border as well. And they're here in the tarnished Emerald City, Jay! You don't believe in protecting anybody from criminals. More of this ridiculous man, Sleepy Jay Inslee.
People are so disturbed about this. I've talked to people who are losing sleep about this because these are children. And people understand that Donald Trump was using them as hostages. He was intentionally trying to cause this pain for these children and their families in order to stop people from having the legal right, I repeat, the legal right to simply ask for asylum. And he's attempting to use these children as a weapon. He's weaponized this system to try to cause this abuse to these families and these children.
Now, what I'm not mentioning here is that you have a legal right to apply at official border locations, and you have a legal right to apply at our embassies. You don't have a legal right to sneak across the border, but I'm not going to mention that, not only because I don't know it, but it's not here in my notes. It's not here in my notes. And I'm also not going to mention the fact that this has been a program plant by my Democrat Governors Association that we have decided that the votes and the lives of citizens who waited in line and became citizens the legal way don't matter as much as illegal immigrants. I've decided that the votes of American citizens matter less, and the thoughts of American citizens matter less than my desire to one day get to the left of the left and sneak my way into the Oval Office, though I've never in my life had an original thought. Not one. I have never, did you know that not once in my life have I had an original thought?
He spoke about the president's propaganda.
It is a concerted propaganda campaign to use clear and obvious propaganda to lie to the American people.
This man is befuddled. This is an 11-second clip, and he befuddles himself in the middle of it.
It is a concerted propaganda campaign
to use clear and obvious
propaganda.
He confused himself in the middle of this.
It's a clear and obvious propaganda campaign to use clear and obvious propaganda in this propaganda campaign. That's a propaganda campaign. And as I've said before, the long arc of history is long and it's arc shaped, but its arc, it bends in a long historical way.
Oh man, and then just a sick burn. Inslee levels against the president.
Given this, whatever piece of paper Donald Trump held up, you know, he likes to hold these up like a third grader showing off their homework.
Well, that's like when that guy wrote that book for me about the planet, and he put all those words in it. And I'll tell you, some of them, I had to clap along to figure out, what do they call those? The beats in a word? Some of them had five to seven syllables. What's syllables in them?
Inslee talking about giving more money to who?
We know that this was an intentional infliction, abusive behavior to punish innocent children. It is a form of child abuse. And these families and their children need help right now. Accordingly, today I am announcing a $1.2 million of new funding to support the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project to provide civil legal aid for individuals, families, and unaccompanied minors.
I am appointing the tax dollars of Washington. Oh, pardon me, my staff got me up at almost 10:30 this morning. I am appointing Washington State taxpayer dollars to defend illegal immigrants who've come into our country illegally. And I know people have concerns sometimes about the money being spent in our state. But in this case, I just have this one thing to say about that.
You got the best weed in the United States.
No, I didn't mean that. There was one other thing I wanted to say about the spending in our state. I wanted to say,
they put that debt on my grandchildren.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say.
This man thinks he's going to be president. I have a dare for you, Jay Inslee. I dare you to come in here and open a mayonnaise jar. Not that you don't have the bodily strength, but you wouldn't know which end to touch without your staff.
Those jars can be pretty complicated, in my defense. Sometimes that glass looks like it's the lid.
Hey, Jay, which one's the basketball and which one's the poodle?
Well, oh, the one moved. Oh, wait, it rolled.
Now, he was talking about Donald Trump's propaganda,
and he's using clear propaganda to propagate propaganda that's just propaganda.
It's a lie, right? Way back in the day, Inslee went on my friend Dory Monson's show on Kyle Radio. You know Dory. And he made a statement.
You've said you would not raise taxes. Do you pledge to my listeners that as governor, you will not raise taxes or support tax increases in this state?
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
Well, the carbon tax, that's a fee. Even the Attorney General of Washington State... I'm sorry, my staff woke me up at 10:30. Even our attorney general said it's not a tax, it's a fee. And yes, I want an income tax, but not for me. I work for the government. I'm underpaid. MCPJ Inslee.
Can you imagine the day that he was one-on-one on the stage against Donald Trump in a debate? Do you remember when he wouldn't come out of the bathroom because Bill Bryant was asking him questions during a debate? Or was it the kitchen he was hiding in and his wife was interposing? His wife was coming out. Jay's not coming out. If Bill's going to ask him questions, it's a debate.
Not if he's asking me questions, because those aren't written down. I didn't get those in advance. I don't make things up.
Oh, Jay. I'm sorry. I was rude. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side 94.5 FM. I read from time to time tech blogs. Wired.com. Autonomous vehicles might drive cities to financial ruin. The writer defeats his own piece far the ways in here, but inside this article is yet more proof that your freedom ends when so-called self-driving cars take over. It's called an empty seat tax. Yep. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Text line responses to some of the last segments. Hey, Todd, don't you know that Sleepy Jansley wants to basically put funding in to bring MS-13 gang members into the state of Washington so people can be murdered? Maybe Ms. Inslee forgot that one. But that money he's proposing is exactly what they're going to do with it. Where he said the money's going, that's a great job, big lie, it's going to MS-13. I don't think it's going directly to MS-13. I know MS-13 is involved in the trafficking, and they benefit from this. I don't think it's going directly to them. But, hey, there's no doubt MS-13 and their derivatives are killing people in our area. And you can pretend all day long and go around the lily pad and around it, but it's a fact. And it's been mentioned in the killing of that guy shot 28 times. That was an MS-13-related hit. The girls in Burien, the two girls who were separated permanently from their families because they were murdered by gang members, that was, as I'm told, MS-13-related. Okay? So this is happening here. And look, they're here for the drugs. They're here for the heroin. They're here for the meth. They're here for the decriminalized meth. Everybody knows that. That's why the Chinese are building grow houses here, Chinese investors. Everybody knows what's going on here. Jay Inslee knows, but he needs to be hip because there's nothing hip about the guy. So all he can do is go on television shows and say, we've got the best weed. Text line is 800-465-8770. Didn't Sleepy Jay also request that Bill Bryant not look at him? You know, I think that's true, Garrett. I think that's absolutely true during the debate.
Can you tell him to quit looking at me? Plus, he's breathing my air. Hey, Mr. Debate Moderator, Bill Bryant's breathing my air.
Inslee. I was reading Wired magazine, which, yes, I still read Wired.com, not the magazine, from time to time. And this article caught my attention because, you know, and if you don't know, you're about to learn, my opinion on the so-called autonomous cars is, A, that's a misnomer. They're not going to be autonomous. They'll be software-driven. You won't drive them. They're going to outlaw steering wheels. It's a fact. And they're going to do that because the government will control the pathways of the car. I've written about this. Other people have said this. Researchers have said that nirvana on the road is you no longer driving, that you're going to make all the mistakes that no one wants you to make. Plus, you're going to have that annoying habit of going where you want to go. And you're going to have that annoying habit of doing things you want to do on the road. Like you might want to drive during peak hours. They can't let you do that. This piece in Wired contends that autonomous vehicles might drive cities to financial ruin. So it's a very typical kind of pearl-clutching, hand-waving piece when Wired dips its foot into issues political. It quotes this guy named Nico Larko, director of the Urbanism Next Center at the University of Oregon. He points out, many cities, this is my NPR voice, many cities balance their budget using money brought in by cars, gas taxes, vehicle registration fees, and traffic tickets, billions of dollars in parking revenues. But driverless cars don't need these things. Many will be electric, will never get a ticket, and can circuit the block endlessly rather than park. Yeah, sounds like pure hell, doesn't it? No more parking tickets, no more speeding tickets. Sounds like pure unadulterated hell, Mr. Urbanism. But then we get to the important part of the story, and here it is. Cities are beginning to look at new ways to scrape money out of you when you're driving around in your government-controlled, software-driven shipping boxes. I'm not calling them cars, and I'm not calling them autonomous vehicles. They're shipping boxes. When you're sitting there in your shipping box going, which means stop at, I'm getting off at 3rd and Pine. They want to charge for pickup and drop-off zones. They want to charge for fees for parking fleets of cars, creative assessments. And then I got to this. I've been saying it, and now an academic, an urbanist academic at the University of Oregon proves me right. You know what cities are looking at? Taxes for empty seats. Told ya. Your personal vehicle is dead. Your decision to travel alone is dead. It just doesn't know it yet. You want a statewide initiative? How about this? Citizens of Washington State will always have the right to drive a self-driven car. How about that? Why? Taxes for empty seats. Here's what this means. You wake up in the morning. You go online. You order a shipping container to come to your house. You get on the phone. You go, or you type with your hoof. Shipping container shows up. You walk down the cattle way onto the shipping container. Only the shipping container says, I can't take you straight to work. We need to stop and pick up some, you know, sheep and chickens. And until the car's full, you can't go to work. This here, the so-called autonomous car, the computer-driven shipping container, that is the death of freedom you can watch coming over the hill. And there's a reason that we, when we were conquering the West, took away people's horses. Oh, no, I'm not insane. I'm not an extremist. I'm a realist, and I'm also a former technology futurist who got paid to be one, okay? This is coming. You want an initiative? Do it on this. State of Washington. Citizens will always have the right to drive their own cars, self-propelled with a steering wheel. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show at AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. I don't know if I want to talk about Peter Fonda because I may fly into a rage with what he said about Barron Trump, especially given his history. No, I like this at the text line. 4752, you used your NPR voice, now the lefties will call in. That's pretty good. No, maybe they will. I may talk about Peter Fonda, what he said about Barron Trump. I may talk about that. But I will give you a warning. If I do, it's probably going to get a little loud in here. So let me go stretch my hamstrings, my pecs. We'll see if I'm all ready for that. Because you don't want to pull a muscle doing talk radio. If you're really astute, you'll get it. That's not the Beatles. That's a cover. That's not the Beats. That's not the Babs. That's a cover. Is that the Beats? That does not sound like the Boys. That's not the Fabs.
Sub Rosa.
Yeah, so I'm saying. I knew it instantly. Peter Fonda is a sign of our times. Peter Fonda is absolutely a sign of our times. And it is a huge, huge, huge problem we're facing in our society. Peter Fonda, in a fit of rage, went out and said that the president's son, Barron, should be snatched from his mother. Can we all make one very clear statement? Hey, Peter, you, despite the fact that you're not dead, as one of my listeners just said, wait a minute, Peter Fonda, isn't he dead? you are still a famous guy. You can influence some creep to go do this. Barron is a little kid, you creep. He didn't have anything to do with this policy. Melania had nothing to do with it. Melania was against the policy. But the president also didn't sneak Barron into the country, Peter Fonda. What the bile that rolls up in your gut. We've all of a sudden made a habit of just spitting it out at people. And Peter Fonda, sign of the times, is not alone in this. The sounds that came out of the mouths of Democrats during this period of time. Do you think you get to shove this all back into the bottle when your guy's elected or your woman's elected? Do you think you get to go, okay, now we have to be civil? You would counter the words that, like Sleepy J. Inslee just said, we just shared Sleepy J. Inslee, saying that the president was doing all these things to purposely harm children. That was the sole motivation. Does that all get to get put back in the bottle? Secondly, let's talk about scale, Peter Fonda. And by addressing you, I'm addressing the all of yous. The all of yous, that is the people who are unable to hold in your gut the bile that should stay in your gut. Let's talk about scale and context. The kids taken from either their parents or their human traffickers or the sex traffickers who brought them across the border or the MS-13 operatives who brought them across the border, some are with their parents. Perhaps most are. 10,000 came alone. They're being put into the best available facility, Pete. Most of them end up in foster homes, which is a whole nother problem, and it's a global scale. And if you one day want to wag your concern around, Peter Fonda, you could wag your concern about the general state of foster care systems, which are run by governments who, frankly, don't give a damn about that because it's not posturing, it's not agitating. They don't put any real concentration in how DSHS works or how overloaded caseworkers are, because most caseworkers, by the way, at DSHS, they want to do the right thing. Let's talk about scope, Pete. The hundreds and thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of kids who've gone through a foster system in our country where they have been abused, where they've been neglected, Pete, separated from their families sometimes by overzealous CPS, sometimes by unfair CPS, sometimes by downright bitter CPS, people who did not like the parents. Happens, Pete. There's a whole group of men and women who have started a movement to expose it. And I could take you through, Pete, and tomorrow I will. Maybe next hour I will. I could take you through. I will next hour. I'll take you through some specific cases of abuse, Pete, where people had their own kids taken from their house in this country, having committed no crime, not being allowed to appeal. Kids gone, then you can appeal. You didn't make a screech about that, but you say Barron should be taken out of Melania's hands. Barron, who had nothing to do with this. Melania, who had nothing to do with this. And you're a famous guy, Pete. You could cause some moron to go do this or some lunatic to go do this. Let's talk further about scale, Pete. The guy you consider perhaps the greatest president in your lifetime, Pete. I mean, the lifetime you can remember when you stopped taking the acid. I assume you stopped taking the acid. Last time I met you, you told me you kind of stopped, but you're doing the mescaline. Oh, yeah. Remember we had a conversation in Hollywood, Pete, when I used to work there. Remember that? Barack Obama enforced a law in Illinois that if a child survived an abortion, it was illegal for the medical team to help the child. Child didn't cross the border illegally. Child wasn't trafficked into here. Child was born. Truly helpless. Survived an abortion. Breathing. Gasping for breath. Wanting very much to live. Let him die. Make it illegal to help him. You said nothing. So not only should the bile stay in your throat, Pete, but you really need to examine the fact that you really don't care about this stuff. Just the politics. Come back on the Todd Herman Show with your emails, social media posts. The time has arrived, my favorite part of the show, your longer form communications with us through email or Facebook messages. You can always email me, therman@ktth.com. We do the text messages throughout the show, 800-465-8770. But I don't want to have to keep asking you questions. You guys are co-owners of the show the way I see it. So use the number, 800-465-8770. Even better is Twitter. And when you tweet the show, let people know you're tweeting the Todd Herman Show. It's just another way to draw people to the show. Max from Mercer Island. Hey, Todd, first you read my email last week on my birthday, so thank you for making my day. Secondly, yesterday the Seattle City dictatorship passed a ban on plastic utensils in businesses. As someone who enjoys being able to sip on my tax-free Diet Coke with a handy planet-damaging straw, a question arose. Will I be cited for illegal use of plastic straws if I'm caught bringing them within the city limits of Seattle, or could I be fined for each subsequent use every time I'm caught? What makes this more insane is these questions are very real possibilities. While the city council, a.k.a. Durka, turned into an absolute blind eye to the real issues, like the imported street people from around the country attacked by these ruthless people and their drug use, the average Joe is caught footing the bill for meaningless and harmful infractions, while the protected class of street people commit the life-altering felonies and forever change the lives of innocent people who are just trying to go about their own lives. One day I hope the city will get their heads out of you-know-where, and I pray that no one else has to experience what these recent victims have experienced. I wish the Republican Party would represent conservative values instead of representing the letter R, because we all know how Heroin Dan had represented the party. In recent weeks, we've made great strides in pushing back the leftist side of the state in taxes and so-called public safety initiatives that strip law-abiding residents of their Second Amendment rights. I just hope we can capitalize and continue to push through the leftist wall of insanity and once and for all solve the street people problem in the Seattle area, Max. Max, I appreciate the note, and the straw thing is already it's already a laughingstock. I got a phone call from a radio station in Dallas, Texas, and we're trying to work it out that we would do kind of a simulcast. I would have them on my air. I would be on their air. We'd be doing this cross-country. Because they're really upset that Mayor Jenny's headed down there. And the host there was kind enough to say he'd heard discussions in the Rush Limbaugh show that we've had about this. And that that had drawn his attention to Mayor Jenny headed to Texas. So I want you to know the nation is watching on this. And I think they're going to get under increasing pressure. And I think they're already there. Rachel from Redmond. Crying children, concentration camps, family separation. This is not 1937 Nazi Germany. This is 2018 America, but these statements demonstrate a deeper, darker America, I fear may become part of our history if not discussed soon enough. Though these attention-grabbing headlines prompt fear in all who hear them, regardless of political affiliation, there's still more to the story of immigration. As someone who studies history in hopes of becoming an 8th grade U.S. history teacher, I fear our country's on a much deeper level. The American political elite are more out of touch with the American people than ever before. When was the last time we, the people, were asked about immigration? Legalization of anything? We vote, but what is the point anymore? They don't listen. Local, state, federal, no one seems to be listening to the American people. The political elite are so wrapped up in their own agendas, they forget they're responsible for running a country. I fear for our next generation, what will be left of them if the government cannot even sit down and discuss legislation in a calm and rational way? When did the word compromise disappear from a vocabulary? Social media is filled with political statements, unfriending, and anger. The American people are not angry with each other, despite differing opinions. We are all united in our anger and frustration at our government on all levels.
I hope this immigration policy opens the eyes of government leaders to the bigger, scarier issue at hand, the loss of respect, legitimacy, and appreciation of our government. The world is already laughing at us, not because of Trump, but because of the mockery we've made of our democracy. Our government was founded on the cutting edge, innovative, and controversial ideas to begin with, and we've lost touch with the meaning behind what our founders sought for our country. How can we possibly continue down this path? Don't they see how dangerous this will become? Don't we all see how dangerous it will become if we vote for the D or the R next to the name rather than the ideas and opinions of the candidate? Maybe this week we can focus on immigration, ensure safety and security of these families, and especially the children. Next week we can shout enough at our leaders. Maybe next week the young leaders of this country will stand up and say, this is not what we want for our future. Maybe next week we can stand together, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, and everything in between, to say, listen to us, we are the people. We, of course, will not agree on everything, but as Americans with a shared ideal of hope and freedom and commitment to democracy, our compromise on how to keep our country safe, reviving the American dream. The political elite are so out of touch with us, how can we possibly allow them to continue voicing and voting for our opinions when they don't even know what those opinions are? It's time to make America ours again. It's a great note, Rachel. I appreciate that. Rachel from Redmond. And, you know, one of the sad facts that makes this so difficult is that people actually don't understand what it means to be American. They really actually don't understand the fundamentals. Let me give you one fundamental that they don't understand. When folks don't understand what the phrase the right to fail means, okay, the right to fail, they have lost the whole thread on America. America was based upon a principle, well, many, many principles, but one of them is you have the right to experiment with your life so long as you're not harming others. You have the right to experiment with things so long as you're not taking or stealing or appropriating, right? America was founded with a, you know, great big chink in our armor, the chink of slavery. We understand that, and the bizarre compromise that created that. And, of course, it ran counter to our principles, and it led to a massive civil war. The right to fail has been overcome by the right to never hurt, the right to never be offended. And you speak so well about our democracy, or I would caution you to think of it as a republic. But take into account the fact that there are kids who are tired of it. There are young people who are tired of it. There are old people who are tired of it. They think it's the republic that's the problem. They think it's freedom that's the problem. They've been so carefully boiled in this water that they don't even realize it's burning them, that it's destroying their ability to really understand the core of America. The core of America is indeed we the people. The exceptionalism is being governed by our consent. We are a group of people who said, we give you the consent to govern us, but not to rule us. Far too many people in our country want rulers because far too many people are told on a daily basis they simply can't do it on their own. Prevention Magazine, how not to stab yourself in the gums with a, you know, with a fork at a picnic. From that level of things to, man, that health insurance, that's really bad. You better let the government figure it out. The same government that put us $20 trillion in debt and $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Well, how do we change that? Well, we talk about it every day on the show. We talk about it every day on the show, and we talk about exposing the rot of the ideas, about putting them in front of our liberal friends and saying, okay, so you support forcing people to buy products from companies they don't like, right? They never think of it that way, but when we rephrase and reframe, we have a chance to change people's minds. I appreciate the note, Rachel. It's a good job. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. A little more Seattle spirit. Speaking of children separated from their parents and parents separated from the children. Speaking of that, Mayor Jenny, on your way down to Texas, or probably there by now, some Seattle spirit versions of that next on the Todd Herman Show.